Today's program was brought to you by Le Creuset, made in France since 1925. The first and finest enameled cast iron cookware, a favorite for generations. For more information, visit lecreuset.com. That's LECREUSET.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair. I am your host for today's show, Amanda Dell. I am the co-director of Food Book Fair. Today we are desperately missing Kimberly, the other half of Food Book Fair. She's out and about doing her thing. We're sending her the best. And in the meantime, we are holding down the mic, as they say, with an amazing guest. Again, you are listening to Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair on Heritage Radio Network. And our guest today on the show, so exciting. This is actually her very first podcast, so we're really breaking her in. She is Rachel Krupa. She is a bi-coastal PR maven, the founder of Krupa Consulting, and her latest project is something that is very, very IRL. It's called the Goods Mart. It is a convenience store reimagined by Rachel. It has its first location opened in Silver Lake this past year in LA. And she just opened a New York location on Lafayette Street. So clearly we will have a lot to talk about. She has tons to recommend in the grab and go department. So I'm very excited to hear about that. And I'm sure, as you know, she is a PR professional, has also a lot to recommend in what she's constantly refreshing on her page. So Rachel, officially welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Love this. This is so fun.
We just started. Wait. thanks, Matt. Matt, our engineer. We got our sound effects back. So that always.
Thank God I found them.
Yes, exactly. Cool. So yeah, Rachel, we're breaking you in for your first pod.
I know. And there's so much to look at and so much to just like observe while I'm here.
Yeah. We are broadcasting live inside of a shipping container in the back of Roberta's, the pizza restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. So Heritage Radio Network, it's a member supported radio station. Definitely visit heritageradionetwork.org for more info. I'm so glad Rachel could join us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I think to get things started, we will talk about, you know, what we're both recommending. And we like to be a little broad with this. It can really be what you're reading, watching, listening to, music that you're loving, other podcasts, any like regular reading that you always do, or even like what's lined up in your queue on your nightstand. So I can kick things off a little bit, or okay, I'm gonna
break. Yeah, kick it off, and then let's just go back and forth because I think I need to add a lot of things of what you're gonna say onto my to read list.
Okay, sounds good. Oh, I don't even have any reading this. I don't even have any reading. I wanted to just talk about this television show Outlander, but you don't know it. But that's okay. You're gonna get to know it. It's on a channel called Stars. It is an adaptation of a series of books. And this show has a lot of spoilers, so I'm going to try to get around that. It is about the relationship between a man and a woman, Jamie and Claire. And Claire has discovered the ability to time travel. This is going to sound a little hokey, but it's really not.
I feel like it's going straight up to like, I need to watch it tonight.
the time travel occurs between the 1740s and like the 1940s.
Okay.
I guess in England, in Scotland, in Wales. And so it's kind of all about, it's about so many things, the history, it's about their relationship. The show just came back for its fourth season, and Jamie and Claire are actually headed to the U.S., so it's very exciting. Oh. And this is in kind of, you know, colonial America. So it's really interesting to see how the show has treated this time period and is treating this time period in America versus the entire show, which had taken place in Great Britain before. I will quickly go over the parts that I'm really feeling about the episodes. Yes. 1 and 2, which have just aired. One, because of the storyline, but also time-related traveling, Claire is slightly older than Jamie. So number one, this is a win because I feel like it's so rare to see this narrative on television where the woman in the relationship is clearly older and the man then would therefore be younger. Okay. And I think they just approach this with, it's very classy. Like Claire is a healer and she, in her modern life, became a medical doctor. So then she's kind of like a super boss by like healing everyone with her, you know, with the limited supplies that she has.
Yeah.
So it's cool. So that part I love about the show. And yeah, just, you know, the costuming, it's really beautiful to watch. And also the last thing I'll say about the show is that it's on this independent, I guess, fairly independent channel. And like they are really able to go there and really push the limits of I think what television can do in terms of what they can show, not only sexually, but also violence, you know, wise. And some parts of it I can't watch. I'm very squeamish, so I'm always like turning away. And in this past week's episode, I was actually very like surprised at what they show. It was very heart-wrenching to me.
Well, I feel like just from what you said, I really want to see it just because it does parallel a lot what's happening in the world today of just healing and just like the wellness movement of like healers and the medical industry at that time. But then also if you see the trends, and this is my PR side coming out, it's the trend of it being acceptable, not even acceptable, but like you're seeing more powerful women like dating men that are younger and not necessarily older than them, which is like a completely different topic, but it's interesting to have this parallel right now, but then dated back to whichever century you said. It's just interesting because it parallels to where we are now. Yeah. And I'm sure when they filmed it, because this is what I look when I watch films, it's like they filmed it probably a year ago and even longer it was forward thinking.
I never thought about it that way, actually. Yeah. So this is taking place in about the mid 1700s. So like before the Revolutionary War in North Carolina is where we're set at the moment. So they're referring to the area, North Carolina, as the colonies.
Yep.
But I never thought about this, thought about it in terms of wellness. And like Claire just being such, she's the one that they turn to. Like there was just something really gruesome in this episode and she performed a surgery on someone. And actually it's very funny. It's very sweet. Like the sweetest thing that Jamie, her husband, did for her was get her this like amazing medical, quote unquote, medical kit and like presented it to her as a gift. And she was really overwhelmed by that. Anyway, I will try to find a login for this that I can share with you. Not on the radio, sorry. Because I would really recommend watching it. And also, if anyone does listen to this show with any regularity, thank you if you do, you'll know that I am mildly to very much obsessed with The Cut and New York Magazine Online. And they, of course, provide the best recaps of this show. And I save the recap to read till I've actually watched it. And it's so good. So I just, you know, I love it in so many ways. And I recommend watching it. That's all about that. So Rachel, I'll turn it over to you.
Oh, I mean, if you want to talk TV, I haven't
Yeah, oh, of course.
It's one of those things where I haven't had a chance to watch TV, but when I do, it needs to be something that I don't need to think about so much. Mm. And I've been watching New Amsterdam.
Okay,
have
I haven't heard of it.
Have you gotten into this?
No.
It's also a medical type of show.
Okay.
And it is about a doctor that is taking over a hospital and doing things differently and shaking it up and getting rid of the departments that are not doing things for the best of being a good doctor. And so a lot of what he's talking about is how can I help, which you normally don't get that from the leader down within the hospital of how can I help you from every level.
Is it modern? Like, is it?
It is modern. Okay. It is modern. It's today's day and age.
Got it.
And it's just like, it makes me cry every time because it's one of those, it's kind of tear jerking in the sense of having someone of more power within a medical institution asking everyone from the janitors, you know, up, how can I help? How can I make you more efficient? How can I make you do a better job?
Wow.
So that we can be more, you know, how can we be better for our patients? And he like will go on like the streets because it's set in New York, and helping the homeless and doing things differently of something that of his level within the hospital he shouldn't be doing, but he's doing it because no one else is going to do it.
What channel is it on, or what? Where do you get it? Netflix.
I've been watching it on Hulu.
Oh, Hulu. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
It reminds me of one other show in a very distant way that I have recommended called The Nick, which was on another random channel, Cinemax, but it was a Steven Soderbergh series starring Clive Owen, who's like almost unrecognizable in it. It's called The Nick,
yeah.
And it's about actually a hospital in New York in the early 1900s. So it's, I'm sure the technology and the needs for help are different, but
yep.
Interesting. This hospital drama is always happening.
I feel like it's been like that since like Grey's Anatomy, even before that with ER with George Clooney.
Yeah. True. Yes.
We can't forget that one.
No.
That was like, I feel the first of back in the day.
Yeah. Cool. I love that. I've never heard of it. New Amsterdam.
Yeah. Look at
okay,
it.
Okay. Hulu.
Yeah. You got to find those things. It was a cord cutter. So it's Hulu or Netflix for me.
Yeah. So then you feel like that's a show that you can just like, just enjoy in the moment and lets you kind of have a little calm or a little like escapism.
Yeah. I'm on my email a lot.
Yeah.
So it's something I can put on, but watch, but still be functional.
Ah, I see.
It's okay. That you can relax a little bit, but you still have that noise that you don't have to be fully committed to.
I don't recommend that for Outlander viewing. You need to be fully focused.
Yeah, that's like something where you're curled up and you just watch it without looking at anything else.
Yes, definitely. Cool. Well, thank you for that excellent recommendation. Yeah. And I'm excited to get to some recommendations that we can pick up at the Good Smart eventually.
Yes.
So maybe if you could start out and just tell us a little bit about you, like where did you grow up? How did you form your PR company? Kind of just, how did you get here?
Yeah, it's like a fun and interesting kind of like all around the world type of path. Not necessarily around the world, but I grew up in a small town in Michigan, Pinconning, Michigan, where it's population, I think, of 1,200.
Really?
It's super tiny. Yeah. But it I think through that, it's been able to shape how I've lived the entire time. And then from Michigan, I went to college at Central Michigan, did the old school because I'm old school in that way of like older. And I faxed my resume to the Major League Baseball commissioner's office when I was in college still. And
what
they
got you interested in working for Major League Baseball?
I like baseball and I love sports. And it was one of those things where it was just like, dream job, let's fax a resume in. And because that was during the time when you would fax things and they said, okay, come in for an interview. And I was just like, I'm in Michigan right now. I guess I will fly to New York for the weekend and came with my mom. And they're like, okay, you have an internship.
What year was that of college?
It was my senior year, 2001, 2002.
Okay.
And then I came here for an internship and ended up cocktail waitressing at the Hudson Hotel and Brother Jimmy's and a handful of other things, because when you have an internship, that's like very little pay, like very, you know, you don't get really paid for internships. You have to make ends meet. It's New York. So two cocktail waitressing jobs. And I met this, it was one of those weird moments where I was coat checking at the Hudson Hotel. Someone came up and was just like, hey, obviously you're not a coat check person by trade. What else do you do? And so I was just like talking to him, and he was just like, I will get you a PR internship if you give me, you know, if you go on a date with me. I was like, okay, whatever. He gave me his card. That feeling inside your gut, you're just like, ah, I feel like I don't want to go on a date with him, but I still he might be able to connect me with someone. So he ended up getting me a job at Lizzie Grubman PR, okay, where I started my career in PR in, I think it was like 2002.
Okay. What was your perception of what PR was at that time?
It was interesting because coming from a smaller town, or coming from Michigan to New York, PR is completely different, because I had a handful of internships at, with a, you know, a House of Representatives congressman in D.C. So I knew from the public affairs type of side, okay, I had that type of understanding. And back in the day, it was so different than it is today,
right,
because of technology. I mean, we had to do press clippings, and now they're all electronic. We would physically cut out the piece of paper.
I actually remember that from one of my internships.
Yeah. So you had to do those things, and it was very tangible and like hands-on, and you had to read physical magazines and go pick up things. So it was an old school way of doing PR. And so coming to New York, it was different because it was so fast paced, and it was the socialite scene. Like, there's a lot of other elements added to it versus political, then even in addition to, you know, what you learn in school, or even from a sports side of it too.
Right. Right.
Because when you switch to more entertainment and you switch to more nightclubs, restaurants, it's a completely different beast.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lizzie Grubman.
So was with at Lizzie yeah. Grubman and did a lot of nightclubs and celebrity driven events and learned a lot from her. She was an amazing teacher, and it was like five and a half years of working for her.
Wow.
And, you know, I was very lucky that she took me under her wing and introduced me to so many different people that I'm so grateful for, and learned a lot. But after that time, I had been coming back and forth to LA a lot of just, I kind of like it. I always stayed an extra day or two and wanted to move to LA, and then opened up, the West Coast office for another PR agency, and stayed with them for 3 years before opening up then my own agency. It will be 9 years in January.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So it's PR has been pretty much almost like a 15 year stint, you know, yeah, of just hitting it hard and learning as much about food, restaurant, nightclubs, you know, the industry and wellness, because our great Krupa Consulting, like the PR agency, is all food and wellness.
Okay.
Driven.
And, yeah. And what made you take the leap to start your own agency, and what were some of the early years like what were some of the things that you thought were going to be different? What were some of the things that surprised you?
Yeah. Starting, I mean, I'm always a believer in, if you're not happy with what you're doing, don't do it. And that's one of the guiding principles that I've always lived by, that if I don't love my job, I can always find a job, because I have always been happy when I was cocktail waitressing. If I was, you know, finding something else, like, I feel as though, like, if you're not happy, you can find a means of having a paycheck come in and doing that. But if you're not happy at the root, what's the point of living the day-to-day grind of something? So that was the basis of starting more of like my own company. And it was never really, I wanted to have my own company. It was more of like, I'm not happy with what I was doing. So it was more of, let's figure this out until I figure out what that next step is. But then things kind of snowballed. And one person introduced me to a client, and another person, and then another person. And then you find someone that you love and you would want them to work with you. So then you hire someone, and then it just kind of goes into this like, oh my gosh, I guess this is a company. Mm. And I think for the first 3 years, I think it's like any business. And I think it's still today, you don't know really what you're doing. You kind of go with what your gut tells you to do.
Right.
And then it was after like after 3 years, and it was probably now for the past 6 years, like, it's our focus is food and wellness. And okay. it's CPG, it's restaurants, and it's wellness and more forward thinking and a little bit outside the box. Those that want to do things differently and change the world and change the food system and make wellness things more accessible. And educating people on adaptogens or superfoods or anything along those lines.
Cool. Well, I definitely want to get into that. I just have one more question about kind of the process of starting your own company. I think in many of the people that we've interviewed, you know, on this show or that I've spoken to within our community, you know, a majority women, I think some it can feel very overwhelming to say, like, I want to start my own business and, you know, I'm really good at PR, or I have really great relationships. I know how to write that type of narrative. I think I know the right people to connect with, but feeling very apprehensive, like how do I, about certain types of things that they may have not had the kind of education that others have had, like how do you do payroll? Like how do you set up your insurance? Like, or those things that you kind of learned along the way, did you have someone helping you with those? How did you get over that type of hurdle, if it was one for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's the biggest thing of opening up your own thing is doing it. And I think it takes a lot of energy and time and just confidence within yourself to pull the Band-Aid off and just
I
do
love
it.
That expression.
It's true, though. Use it. You know, you have to. You have to pull right. the Band-Aid off. It's not going to be easy. You know, it's never going to be easy. But I guess I'm also a believer in you find people that can help you do what you're not the best at. Because if you don't have a good team together, then you're not going to be at your best and you have a lot more to worry about that you can't focus on what you're really good at. So if you're starting a business from a PR agency side, I was not the best with numbers. I didn't know all of that, but I had other friends that started their own company. So it's like, hey, do you know someone that can help me with my bookkeeping? Do you know that can help with me, my accounting? Or what do you do about insurance? What do you do about hours? Like, am I open on this holiday or am I not open up on this holiday? So it's asking a lot of friends, but just is having the confidence to do it, because once you do it, then everything flows faster right. because you don't have that apprehensive of what if this, what if that, like, oh my gosh, like should I not do this? Should I not do this? Just do it, because then you have enough people within your resource or in today's age of like email someone, call someone, ask for help. And there's so many different people out there that want to help people succeed. And so it's finding and putting that together, your right team or your family of work family. Right. And I think that's the biggest thing is you can't do everything by yourself. And once you learn that you can't do things by yourself, then it's going to be so much easier.
So it's really about that team mm-hmm. and that teamwork. You always have to build a team for help.
Yeah.
Cool. Great advice from Rachel Krupa. She's joining us today on Recommended Reading. We have to take a quick break, but then we are going to come back and we're going to talk all about Rachel's new project, The Goods Mart, newly opened in New York City, and she opened a previous location in LA. So we'll take a short break. Remember to definitely head on over to heritageradionetwork.org. We are a member-supported radio station nonprofit, so we need all of your help to keep shows like this and the many other amazing food shows live on air on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back in a few.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni, the host of Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I was introduced to Le Creuset cast iron skillets many years ago in my first restaurant, Muggsy's Chow Chow in the East Village. Le Creuset has the superior heat retention of cast iron paired with unparalleled performance and the ease of enamel. That means delicious food with easy cleanup. And I love easy cleanup after running my own restaurants in New York for 23 years. Le Creuset original heirloom cookware is backed by a lifetime warranty. Their bold colors and timeless designs allow for an expression of personal style in the kitchen and beyond. Head to lecreuset.com/HRN. That's LECREUSET.com to see all the new products and amazing holiday gift deals. HRN listeners will get 20% off the new Le Creuset cookbook with the code HRN. Still, I don't want to go to bed.
Welcome back. You are listening to Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair on Heritage Radio Network. We are joined in the studio by Rachel Krupa. She is the founder of Krupa Consulting, a food and wellness focused PR agency based in LA and New York. And her latest project is called The Goods Mart. It is a reimagined convenience store, kind of like if you got to create 7-Eleven, but with all of the products that you would find maybe in like a health store or in a little bit more of like an upscale supermarket. So without further ado, I kind of want to talk to Rachel about why she made this move from, you know, living in the virtual world of PR and having the focus be a lot on digital communications, and then feeling like you want to take this huge step to create something physical that people can go to.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I love it. It's awesome. I had the pleasure this past weekend of visiting the New York location. So I can definitely speak from experience that it was like a very cool little jewel box of a store and not what I was expecting.
I love
at
that.
All.
A jewel box. I'm going to take that.
Okay. Please do.
No, it's great. And it's something, and you described it perfectly. It's like it's 7-Eleven and Whole Foods had a baby. Mm. That would be the goods.
Okay. The goods. I like that.
Yeah, we just keep it with the goods. I mean, it's the Goods Mart, but it's like, we call it the goods. Okay. You know, it's finding it in its things that you would find at a traditional convenience store, but better ingredients, because nothing in the store has any artificial flavors, preservatives, dyes, you know, GMOs, hormone disruptors, anything along those lines. But you can still have fun with that. So we still have organic slushies, and we have, you know, Howie and Tori and Howard, which is like a better for you Starburst, or little secrets that are better for you M&Ms or Kit Kats, and like crackers that are taste like Bugles of back in the day. And that's like the fun part. It's just like, how do you have everything that you love, but just make it better? Because there's so many incredible products out there today that have the same amazing taste of what you have remembered from your childhood. Better taste, if I could say now. But they're doing things differently, and they're more mission-driven. They know where their ingredients come from. They make sure that their employees are being paid well, and they're looking to make a change too.
Cool. How did this idea come to be? Like, were you just, was it like a eureka moment? Like, oh, I was living in LA. I wanted a place I could go to that would have X, Y, and Z. I couldn't find it, so I created it. Or was it more like someone planted the seed? Like, what was the start of this idea?
It's layers on layers of layers, actually. It's
like peel an
back.
Aha moment.
Yeah, there was never an aha moment, but it stemmed from childhood.
Okay.
I was obsessed with our Sunoco gas station, and it's like I feel like the Sunoco gas station I've just talked about so much. but I loved it. It was like a neighborhood hub for us. It was a gas station like near, you know, I-75, you know, next to highway, but it had the place where we would go to get our milk or egg or cheese, like anything that we would need for like the house, because it was closer than a normal grocery store to us.
Okay.
So it was like that corner store almost, but it was that social hub where you could see your neighbors. You might see someone from high school, you know, it was also a gas station, so people were always getting gas there. And so it was like that fun place that you would just like, I want to see someone, I want to hang out or do something. So that was with the place. So it's like, as I got older, we didn't have those places, and things were a little bit more transactional, where Whole Foods is great, but it's you don't have that person that's when you walk in being like, hey, how are you today? Or good morning. Like, are you going for your normal? Or, hey, we got this something in new. Like, I know that you're going to like it based on like everything else that you've been coming into the store for.
Cool. It's an amazing idea. It sounds great. But like, there had to have been something that shifted to be like, okay, this is like what I want to do. And you talked about this a little bit. And then you're like, okay, I'm doing it. Like, I'm taking out a lease. I'm going to order hundreds of products. Mm-hmm. I'm going to receive hundreds of products. I'm going to have to figure out my point of sale, like all of these things. And you still did it.
Yeah. And that's like the hard thing too. And it's one of those things where it's, are you a talker or are you a doer? So if you continue to talk about it, and it was something I talked about to everyone, it was just like, it started off, and I haven't really talked about this that much, but it was more started off as, it's going into a traditional like grocery store and you have everything, and then you have this like one little like organic section, and it makes you feel like the like is everything else like why am I sectioned off, you know, from the organic section of like why can't you go into a store, a traditional store or a convenience store, and have everything be that of quality ingredients that you want to eat? Why does it have to be like one small section? So at one point I wanted to create like an art exhibit and just make everything of the others of like, here's like, you know, from a scientific standpoint of like red dyes, blue dyes, they can cause ADHD, or these are known to cause like more of like cancer causers and things like that. Like I wanted to create like an art exhibit of being like cancer causers, ADHD causers, things like that. But that was a little too risky.
Did you see that installation of someone who like knitted an entire convenience store?
No, but I really want
to know. I'll have to show it to you.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'll show it to you.
Oh my gosh, yes. So it was like the turn from that, but then it was just like, I can make a business out of this. Like no one's doing it in the sense of, let's just like have fun with it and do it. And I was telling friends and talking about friends with it about this concept. And a lot of people were like, that's a really great idea. But I was just like, but are you serious? Like, come on, like be honest with me. But everyone was just like, that's a really great idea of like adding community and having a better for you convenience store, that it was just like, okay, let's do this. And I would keep talking about it. And it was like, okay, let's find a space. And in Los Angeles, I drove by this place. I live in Silver Lake, so it's in Silver Lake. And this building looked a little bit just like, you know, it looked cheap.
I think for our listeners who are in New York, I spent some time in LA last spring. And like, yeah, I was kind of struck by like in a neighborhood like Silver Lake or Obesity and Echo Park, like there were, it almost seemed like there were some buildings that were in a great location, but kind of were a little bit standalone, or, you know, and as a New Yorker, they always left me like a little bit puzzled. Like, was this something? Is it going to turn into something? We're just, you know, in New York now, there's like a lot of empty storefronts, but there's, you know, in the main, you know, in Manhattan and in most parts of Brooklyn, like the buildings to me didn't look as, I don't know, not available, but I know what I'm trying to articulate, like in LA, it surprised me.
It's just, you have a lot more space.
There's more space.
So you have a lot more space. So you can have these unique buildings and
unique buildings.
It's unique shapes and sizes and buildings and are the original goods, like where we just opened 6 months ago, which is crazy, is it was an old, crazy enough, it was in the 70s. It was a drive-through deli and dairy.
Huh.
And so when I walked in, I saw this and it had like a really, you know, like for lease sign that wasn't like a, you know, a real estate company that I knew. It was just like a for lease sign that you probably got at like a store.
Right. Okay.
And so I called it and I was like, hey, can I come and see it? This is my idea. And they're like, well, there's actually refrigerators in the back. So there was a refrigeration system, but from the 70s that was not to code. It was all like wood paneling refrigeration in the back and these beautiful golden doors from like the 70s. And it was just like, I think it needs to go back to this, like what it used to be. But then it was like a bike shop. And then it was just like these other random stores. But when I walked in, it was kind of like that moment that it was just like, I need to be a convenience store again. And so we kept it pretty much the same shape and size and like kept the ceilings the same. Obviously we had to do a new refrigeration system because of that was not to code. But it was like a moment, but I had no idea what I was doing. And it, once again, it was finding an amazing team to help, like a project lead that could help with the construction. And since I do PR and work with restaurants, I asked all of my clients of what contractors do you love? Like, who's an expediter that I can talk to? And like, you know, how do you finance something like this?
Yeah.
Because it was just like, what do I do? And it was just, I got a bank loan. So it was one of those moments where you're like, okay, let me do this and let me figure out how I can do it. A little bit of a backwards way, you know, than I think most people are doing now, but it had all the resources from people that I had from like the PR company that were able to help me out.
Mm. Okay, super cool. And you've talked a little bit about this in terms of how you infuse like the local flavor, mm-hmm. In at the goods. Yeah. So talk to us like kind of about some of the special products that you have in LA and some in New York, and maybe, I don't know if your eyes are always open and what you're looking for, but if there's anyone listening that, you know, has a product that sounds like it's right for the goods.
Yikes.
Hit us up.
Yes, please. I love things that are different and unique. Right now, we have like a handful of, in the New York location, we have this company, Rise Flour, that they make brownies out of spent grains from the local breweries in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And they're incredible brownies that are from the grains that, you know, from like the local breweries. And so it's just like, hey, are these non-GMO everything? And she's like, yes, 100%, like looked at everything. And so we have these amazing brownies that are from spent grains. One of the girls, Nicole, in our office would make us cookies in the office every day. And so she figured out how to you know, get the permit so that she is making cookies for the store too. You know, so things she's baked, she now has a cardamom molasses cookie that we sell at the store, and it sells off really well.
I had it
the other day.
Yes.
It's really good.
Really good, because it's not the flavors that I usually love, because I don't love like those kind of spices.
Yep.
But there was something just really delicious about it, and the texture, excellent. So Nicole, is that her name?
Yep.
Great job.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then we have like the local kombuchas, because we want to bring in like the local stuff too. So we have Bear's Fruit, which is an amazing kombucha that comes in 10-ounce bottles, just because from like the research from their scientists that they have on, you know, on staff, it's like, I guess you only need 10 ounces of kombucha that your system can process the probiotics. So you don't technically need 16 ounces.
Oh, I always want to buy kombucha, and I do buy it a lot. And yeah, there's some brands that I love, like Pilot, but I'm always like, oh, that's such a big one.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to check this out.
Yeah, so Bear Food is really good. I love Pilot too. They're also a really great local brand. But then we also have fun stuff where we have El Adoro sandwich delivered at 11 a.m. every, you know, during the weekday, just for like the lunch rush. We have burritos, like Burritos Las Palmas, which is like the late Jonathan Gold, love him to death. Like his favorite burritos are in the store daily, and they're just so good.
I also tried that. I had to support the goods and try them all out, try a lot of them out.
Yes,
so.
And did you like it?
Yes, I thought it was really different. You know, New York has absolutely, we don't really have as much of a burrito culture as LA. So it was like a little more compact, and it was different than what I thought it was going to be. Yeah. But I really liked it. And I loved that it was like a kind of smaller size. So I felt like I could like sample it and not, and then just like move on with my day.
That's like the LA-ness of it. It's just like kind of like morphs, and it's like handheld. And so you can eat it on the go, but it has this like textural thing that is just like kind of just like melts in your mouth. In a way, it's just like, you can't really describe it. It's just like a feeling.
Yeah. So when I came in the other day, I was really surprised at like the gamut of products. Like, you know, the bodega that I frequent, and I grew up in New York, so I have a lot of experience with bodegas. You know, it's you forget like how many little things are like packed into stores like that. Yeah. Like you're like, oh, I want like a pack of Advil, but then you're like, oh, like my bodega, like they'll have like feta cheese. Like I'm like, okay, well, I want some feta, and like, okay, it's not the world's greatest, but it does the trick.
Yep.
And then, you know, you had such cool things like little hand sanitizers. You know, I bought a face mask on your urging. I haven't tried it yet. Yeah. So like, how do you narrow down the amount of products that you want represented?
It's hard, but I think that's also part of having a convenience store where you don't need 15 peanut butters. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between a grocery store and a convenience store. You curate what are the best of the best, and like what you can have from like a price point of high, low, so that you can have something that's accessible to everything. Because I think that's another really big part of our store, is while we have better for you ingredients and really great products, it still needs to be accessible. But it's finding the things that you love. And like, I always say it's like that, and I love that I can swear, it's like those oh shit moments when you're like, oh shit, I ran out of toilet paper, or oh shit, I ran out of like paper towel, or oh, I don't have any more toothpaste.
Right.
So you have like a lot of those things in there. So you just need, from the necessity standpoint, of the things that you're like, ugh, I ran out of. but you also need, like, what are those fun things that you're like, oh, I guess I want to try that, right, from, like, you know, the face mask, because you're just like, I've had a really long day and, like, I feel like that's just going to make me feel good. But then we have, like, the fun things where it's, you know, your natural condoms, and because you have those at every convenience store. And that was part of the process of learning, is just going into every convenience store and bodega and being like, what are the things that they have that you're like, oh, we need that.
Right.
You know, and yeah. So those are the things that you look for, and you need to have pasta, you need to have the sauce. Like, you, when we first opened the first one, we had pancake mix, but everyone was just like, well, where's your maple syrup? And you're like, oh, I guess we need that.
Yeah, those customers, they'll definitely tell you what you're missing.
Yeah, but that's like the fun part, yeah, because then people are also going to be like, hey, if you carry this too, I will buy it every day. And so you're like, if you buy it every day, we'll bring it in for you. And that's what we did. We had like the Reed's like ginger beer, and someone wanted the red top, like the spicier one. So we're like, sure, let's bring it in for you. And he literally comes in every day and has one. And I amazing. Love that.
Yeah. So beyond, you know, clearly being a store and being a utility for whichever neighborhood you're in, I know kind of part of your goal is also being a community space. Yep. And it seems like you're kind of even touching on that by having such a direct rapport with your customers and with, you know, the people in the neighborhood. So kind of talk about the big vision of like how you're feeling like maybe this can be just the start of something bigger, having more, you know, locations, but how it can really be a place for the community.
Yeah. And I mean, we sell physical goods, but the whole essence of the goods is to do good. And that's where you normally don't tip at a normal convenience store or grocery store, but we keep the tip function on, but we make it so it's 2% or 5% of like whatever you pay. So we have $1.25 La Colombe coffee. So if you get $1.25 La Colombe coffee, a local organic apple for 50 cents, you're spending $1.75. You're tipping basically 2 cents, 5 cents, whatever that is. So we're not asking for people to do a lot. It's just like, do something. Because I think everyone wants to do something that if everyone does a little bit, it all adds up. And I think it's educating people of how, because I believe that people want to innately do better, but no one's giving them the opportunity to. So you're like, why not? It's like 2 cents, 5 cents. Like when you go and check out, it's rounding it up. And it's doing that and donating all of our tips, like every single penny to a nonprofit every single month. And we're changing it. So the first month was for the New York City Park Stewardship Program, where they care for the trees immediately around the store. This month we're doing the Bowery Mission, because during Thanksgiving and the holiday, they have so many more hungry and homeless individuals that are in the neighborhood, because it's on Kenmare and Bowery, and it's 5 blocks from our store. So let's continue to do that. Like, we are having a community day where people can sign up, and we're looking for 35 people on December 8th to take care of the trees in that area. And people are like, it's winter. Like, what do you need to do with the trees? But in order for the trees to stay alive throughout the winter, they need to have mulch, and they need to be wrapped so that like the trunks can still stay strong and like can like withstand like the, you know, the weather that every one of us needs to do. So it's asking everyone to come together. And it's like, what I want to do and what we would look to do with the goods always is, how do you create that moment that it makes it easy for the people in the community to be like, I want to do something. I want to volunteer. I want to do something. But how hard is it? Like, you're just like, which website do I go to? What do I want to do? Like, how do I sign up? Where do I go? We want to do that for you and just be like, okay, every month we're going to do a community event. Like, come in, look on our bulletin board, because we have an old school bulletin board that anyone can put anything up on. We have our tips going into our charity. But then I think the biggest part is just like, what else can we do? And that's like the fun part of being open for that, of being like, what else can we do? In Silver Lake, we just got approved to accept EBT in the SNAP program. We applied for it in New York. So hopefully that then, you know, opens the gate more, so that it's, the goal is to do good, but also making better options more accessible. And so I think those are the things that are just layered on top of everything else, that it's a mission to do good and give people that opportunity. And the good is just like that feeling of like, let's just be better and feel good about ourselves. But it's the small things. And I think we have to celebrate the small things. And that's like the mission is, how do we change things to make us feel just like that warm fuzziness inside on all around. It's weird. I get this moment of just like, someone has to do it, and let's just do it together.
Okay. I can't think of anything better to say about that.
Yeah.
In your own words, that was pretty unbelievable. And you are doing it. You're bringing the goods in more ways than one. More way than one. More. Wait. Goods, ways, yes.
It's a tongue twister.
cool. Well, sadly, we are running out of time. But thank you so much to Rachel Grupa, who joined us on our show, Recommended Reading, today. She told us a little bit about her life story and all about her new project, The Goods Mart, which just opened on Lafayette Street in Manhattan. So where can everyone find you? Is Instagram? What's your handle? Where's the Goods Mart in New York and LA?
Yeah. So thank you so much. Yeah, this was fun. I mean, I have a podcast under my belt, and oh, it was so good to do it with you. So thank you so much for having me on.
Our pleasure.
I'm just at Rach Krupa. And then the Goods Mart is our handle at the Goods Mart. Cool. We're on all of that. And then we're in New York. We're on Lafayette and Broome. And then in Silver Lake, we're just on Sunset in Descanso. I think a lot of people, if you know food, Night Market in Silver Lake, we're just down the street from it. It's a good marker. So you're like, okay, Night Market. And then we're near more of like the Jas White Frida Maman Center in Soho.
Cool. Yeah. My stop next time I go to LA is going to be getting some excellent Pepto-Bismol type pill from the Goods and then going to Night Market.
It's so good. A lot of people come to us while they're waiting for their reservation to get a slushy and to like walk around, and then they're like, okay. And then when I start reservation, so it's like a pro tip move is like put your name in, walk to the Goods, get a slushy, walk back, and then your time to eat.
All right. Well, thanks for leaving us with the best pro tip that there is for the next time we're in LA. Yeah. And thanks for coming to New York and for being on the show.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Recommended Reading is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.